Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, June the 1st, 2014.
Well, we're going to open tonight with the chorus, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name.
Sweet, oh, mother, and joy of heaven. See the
be seated. We'd like to take an offering at this time, so I'll ask ushers to come if they would. Opportunity to worship the Lord through our giving. Bob, would you pray for us? Sing that chorus with me. He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. And He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you, Lisa. I taught you a chorus a couple weeks ago. Actually, the choir sang Forever Reign probably about a month or so ago now. And I want to teach you the little bridge that goes in there. And then we're going to sing the song and we'll attach the bridge to it as we sing through it. It goes like this. My heart will sing.
My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, my heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, sing with me. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing.
Oh, I'm running to your arms. Sing this with me.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love. You are love on display for all to see. You are light. You are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope. You are hope. You have covered all my sin. You are peace when my fear is crippling. You are true. presence I'm able. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. Riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever.
My heart will sing. My heart will sing.
Those are encouragement to you tonight and maybe through the week as you're in your car or at home, maybe singing and just rehearsing some of those words. Oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. Well, what a wonderful comfort to know that God's there with open arms, huh? Well, Nathan, you come share from the Word with us. Nathan and his family are in Venezuela, and I'm sure he has some things to tell us about that. Lord bless you.
Good evening. God bless, and it's a privilege to be here. I would love to start by saying thank you. I'm very, very thankful for this church. Thank you for making us feel at home. We were in Venezuela writing and praying about finding a car, finding a house, and God has provided both of those things and much more through this church, and we're very thankful for everybody who had a part in helping out with this house. A lot of people have said, I haven't even been able to go look at it, and I tell people all the time, you can come over and look at it anytime. This house belongs more to you guys than it does to me. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all the work that the church did to make us feel at home and comfortable, and we're just happy to be here. Pastor walked up to me last week and said, Nathan, are you going to be here next week? And I said, yes, sir. He says, would you preach for me? I need to go out of town, and I need you to preach for me. So I'm going to share something that God put on my heart, and I know some people have asked me, are you going to be sharing about Venezuela? Are you going to be just preaching to us? I didn't know if Pastor wanted me to do either of those, so I just prepared a message because I knew I'd be back for a conference in November, and I'll be able to update you on our ministry then. But tonight, I just want to share a couple things that God has put on my heart, and I'd like to start off by reading a portion of the Bible in the book of Luke chapter 12. The book of Luke, chapter 12, starting in verse 13, I'm just going to read through a few verses here. It says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who has made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, I like this portion of the Bible. I love this scripture. For several reasons, but one of the things that catches my attention is, here's Jesus, Son of God, made flesh, standing before them. What an amazing opportunity. And this man is worried about his inheritance. Isn't that just how we are? We lose focus of what is really important. And I think this is what this portion of the Bible is all about. God is trying to bring us back to what he deems worthy of our attention and of our time and of our effort. And he says, be careful, take heed on what you're looking after, what you're seeking after, because you can't measure man's life by all the things that he has and his possessions. And I mean, God's not going to look at your bank account and say, wow, you really made it, you invested your life well. No, he says, when you die, all these things that you have, who will they belong to? In Sanare, Venezuela, where I've been working, when I first moved into Sanare, there's a very rich man who had died, and that was just the talk of the town for several days because he had passed away, and his two sons, specifically the oldest, had inherited all this business, all these properties and so forth, and were just wasting all this money away, and partying and drinking and just doing nonsense. And I think about this story and how God says, listen, I want you to be rich towards me. And I want us to ask that question, Lord, am I rich towards you? And I invite you to pray with me for a second and ask God that he would show us in his word what he expects from us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you for everybody here this evening willing to listen to your word and ask this question. Lord, how can I be rich towards you? How can I invest in that which is eternal? Lord, help us to put our focus on these things tonight and go away with a burden in our hearts to invest in heaven. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to mention a few things. There we go. I think I went forward a couple times. All right, let's try this again. All right. I want to mention a few things that I believe God wants us to invest in. And the Bible mentions in James chapter 1, verse 12, a very beautiful portion of the Bible. I know most of us here know it by heart. But the Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, here are several crowns. The Bible mentions five, or some would say more, but I'm going to mention five crowns that the Bible mentions up in heaven. I want to go through them briefly. Just write them down if you want to and meditate on these later on, because we could speak on each one of these for a long period of time, but I just want to briefly go through them and challenge our heart about investing in what God would have us invest. And God says, up in heaven, I have a crown of life for those who endure temptation. When I think of temptation, I think of tomorrow. My wife and I have decided that we are going to go on a diet tomorrow. I needed to go on a diet before I came here, and since I've been here these 2 months, I have been eating more American food than I should, and I definitely need to go on a diet now. I probably shouldn't have said this because now everybody's going to be watching. Hey, how are you doing on your diet? But when I think about this diet that I have to go on, and I think about all the temptations that are at the house, see, since I've arrived, I have been on the road a lot. I have been visiting a lot of churches, and a lot of churches are very gracious when they receive you, and they have these little care packages. Oh, they're great. These little care packages are full of all these little goodies, and usually they're full of all these Debbie cakes and brownies that somebody has cooked with lots of love. And, well, I enjoy indulging in these. And I am sure my cabinet is pretty full with all these goodies that I can no longer fit in my mouth, so I have stored away. So now that I have to go on this diet, I think, what do I need to do? Well, to be able to withstand going through this diet successfully, I'm going to have to go through these cabinets and clear out all these goodies and give it away. Brother Miguel, I have some goodies coming your way. So I need to get rid. No? Okay. Should have done it for the yard sale, yeah. I need to clear out my house, because when temptation comes, because it's going to come, I need to be as far away from it that way I don't have anything to my reach. What I need to do is what I told my wife to do today. I said, I need you to go and buy me some oranges, some fruit, that when I get up in the morning and I'm starving and I'm wanting to get into some pancakes or something like that, I can reach for an orange. I can reach for something that's a lot healthier that I need to go for. But temptation is the same thing. God loves holiness in our life. And God rewards holiness in our life. But one of the things that we don't realize as Christians that we need to accomplish, that we need to do to accomplish holiness, is that we need to take away things in our life that will make us fall into sin, fall into temptation. Is always there at a door. No matter how far sin is from my life, no matter how close Krispy Kremes can be from my house, I still need to stay away from those places. But I need to also clear out my house so that those aren't around me. What I'm trying to get to, and pardon, I'm translating a lot of these things in my mind. What I'm trying to say is I can walk as close to the ledge as possible and say, hey, I haven't fallen. But I can also stay as far away and have a lot less chance of falling down. And God really rewards in our life when we decide, Lord, I want to stay as far away from what you don't like. I'm just going to go on from here. The second thing that I believe God rewards and will reward in heaven is written in 1 Peter. And I'd ask you to go there with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 4 says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Now, verse 4, And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now here it's talking to the elders. You're saying, okay, this is not for me. I'm not an elder in the church. But I do believe this is for everybody in church. And it talks about feeding the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by a constraint, but willingly. God has given us a responsibility as Christians, and I believe everybody here tonight is a mature Christian. We have a mature group of Christians here tonight who faithfully come to church and here because they want to learn, you want to study, you want to follow God, you're seeking God's will for your life. And if you want to know what God wants from you, God asks every Christian to invest time feeding that person who is coming and to the knowledge of Christ and is starting on his path and is now maturing as a Christian. Somebody needs to feed the flock of Jesus Christ. So many times we think that responsibility falls on leadership, on the pastor, the co-pastor, the music leader, or whoever's in charge of Sunday school. But God has given every single Christian this responsibility of feeding the flock. And I would like to call this discipleship. The importance of seeing somebody that's growing in the Christian life and the desire in your heart to say, I am going to invest in this person to help him grow. I ask you this question. I want you to reflect on this. That way we don't drag this out. Who's the last person that you have invested your life in? Who you're helping right now to grow spiritually? Can you name one person in your mind? Can you put the name before God and say, yes, Lord, I pray for this person. I have this person in my heart. I'm ministering to this person. I'm working with this person. God says there's a reward in heaven. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If we had a temporary reward, if we had like this man, if we were going to see our barns full of all the goods that we have and we have to tear them down to build others, oh, we'll invest in that because we see the reward now. But God says our reward is in heaven. So sometimes we get sidetracked. It's not now. It's not immediately. We have to wait for this. So we go after other goals. But God rewards those who invest their life feeding the flock, investing their lives in people. So many times we come to church and just feel that our responsibility is to attend, is to come and sit at church. I love my dad. My dad is an example to my life in so many ways. And one of the things that dad would always say to me is, Nathan, when you go to camp, because we'd go to camp every year, he said, the first 3 years of camp are for you. The fourth year on is for somebody else. Because after the fourth year, it's like, Dad, I've heard all the classes that they have to teach. I've been there, played all the games. I'm pretty good at them. I just want to stay in home. It's like, well, this isn't about you anymore. Now it's your turn to invest in somebody else. So many times it's all about, all right, what am I going to get out of church today? Come sit down. We should have a different attitude. We should come to church saying, now who does God want me to feed today? Who can I help grow in the Christian life today? Have that aggressive mentality. Feed a life example. The second verse I would like you to read is in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. God is rewarding all these things in our life. But he comes and Paul uses this example. He says, we're all running a Christian race. And you've heard probably several messages about running the Christian race. And we are all running this life, this Christian race that God has put before us. And we all have to run and say, Lord, what would you have for me? And just run that race. And I believe that every Christian's race individually is different. I believe what you are running in your life is probably very different than I am running in my life. See, you're running a race here in the United States. I'm running a race down in Venezuela where I can't find toilet paper or flour, sometimes not even water. But that's the race God called me to run. And that's the place God called me to minister. But God says everybody's running. But he wants us to run in a way that we obtain the price. And when I read this portion of the Bible, I realize that God is not only interested in me starting my Christian race and starting what God has for me, He's also interested in me finishing this race. And I've seen so many Christians get excited about something and get involved in some sort of ministry, and halfway, they get disappointed. Things aren't working out as they wanted to. They started ministering to somebody. They started feeding the flock of God, and that person got sidetracked and walked away. And you're like, I give up on that. I'm not going to do this anymore. I give up. And it's easy to give up. See, God's interested in how you start, how you run the race, and that you finish this Christian race. And Paul's saying, listen, run in such a way that you receive the prize. How are you running the Christian race that God has given you? And the Bible says there's an incorruptible crown. He goes on to explain these boxers that box and people who train, they train their bodies and they shadow box, and says, but no, I want to put my body under obedience. That way it finishes the race. I don't want to be an example at one moment in my life and then be disqualified in another moment of my life. How true this example is in Christian life today. You say so many Christians running good, and a lot of people are like, wow, look at that Christian. Wow, he's doing good. And then in another moment of his life, he's gone, he's down, and everybody's like, oh, wow, look at that. What happened there? And I see this every day. Satan's out there looking in your life, looking at weak points in your life, little things that you're not really paying attention to that Satan's just creeping up on. When you least expect it, he knocks you out of the race. In Hebrews, it talks about how God wants us to put aside, I'm translating here, weight or burdens and sin that hinder our Christian race. And it's interesting because it's not only sin, but also weights. There's sin in our life that we need to get rid of, yes. God is very clear about that. But there's also things that aren't sin that burden our Christian life as we run, that we tolerate and eventually either stop us or totally disqualify us in the Christian race. And you know what they are in your life. And God says, run the race. Run in a way that you may win the prize. The Bible says, crown of rejoicing. This is in 2 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. This picture you see up there is my church, or God's church. This was taken about almost 4 years ago after VBS. This is the Sunday after VBS, and we had a great turnout. People were excited about what they had done because it was the first VBS that we had done on our own with no external help from any other churches, people coming up to help us. No, all the leaders, all the workers are the people who are standing there in the back, and they were all church members. And they were proud of themselves. They were excited because they had done the work. And I remember that point in my ministry, going to pray and saying, Lord, this is the group of people you gave me. And with this small group that you've given me, I want to train them, I want to prepare them, and one day, Lord, I want to present them to you. And when I read this portion, Paul says, what's my crown? What's going to make me look good when I stand before God one day before his throne and say, Lord, look at all I've done? He says, you're my crown. You're my joy. He's telling the people there at the church, he said, you're the reason that I'm working, and one day I'll present you before God, and this is my glory, this is my joy. I don't need any greater joy than this. And I ask this question, when you stand before God, when you stand before his presence, what will be your crown? Or even better, who will be your crown? That you will present before God and say, Lord, this is the people that you have given me and I have invested in Brother Arce, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a pastor. Oh, but God didn't just call pastors to reach people. He called you. He called you to be an example to people. He called you to invest your life in other people. And I look at these this picture, and for you it's just faces and a dark picture that's not well taken. But to me, those are years of tears, of visiting, of staying up late at night, dealing with couples who wanted to leave their houses, of daughters that are hurt with their dads and saying, I don't want to speak to him ever again, I'm going to leave my home, of sin, of bad habits and drug addictions that we've struggled through and prayed and preaching and then encouraging and then training and now seeing them stand up. And I remember when I said goodbye to them, the last Sunday that I was there, I had troubles keeping a straight face. And there wasn't a dry eye at church, and all I could do was cry and tell them that I was proud of them, that I loved them, and that they would be faithful to God, to invest their time reading the Word and encouraging one another and reaching. And what I hear when I'm back here, and every time somebody sends me a picture, oh, my heart fills with joy, because that is my joy and that's my crown and that's the reason for my service before God. But I ask you again, when you stand before God, like Paul, will you be able to say, Lord, this is my crown, this is my joy, this is what I've invested in? That took a second. All right. We'll finish with this one. Crown of righteousness for those who love is coming. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Reading about this, some people say, it's loving his first coming. Other people say love his second coming. And the term loving means that has loved and continuously loves. But all that stands very unimportant when you look at the whole picture that's being said here. It's about loving God and loving his appearing in our life. And I remember as a younger Christian and even as a younger person, sitting under my father's preaching down in Venezuela as he would preach. My dad's a teacher, and he's also a prophet, and he'd get all excited when he would start preaching about God's second coming. And I always enjoyed listening to a message about God's second coming. And it always got me fired up and excited. But I'll tell you something else it did. It always did this. It always gave me this anxiety inside. Oh my goodness. And you know what that anxiety is? It's the thought, I haven't finished what I need to do. There's something that I need to do that I have not finished yet. There's something in my life that's just not right with Christ, and I'm not ready for him to come right now and to find me like I am now. I'm not sure I'm 100% ready to meet God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but there's things that I know I've been wasting time about, and I need to get this right with God. And I know every time he would preach about this when I was not married, I'd be like, Lord, let me get married, Lord. I still didn't have any children. It was like, Lord, let me have my first child at least. Then I had my children. Lord, take me home. No. But we get anxious. We get all this mixed emotions, because the truth is, so many times in our life, our focus has been off of God. And there's a crown waiting for those who have loved and lived their life preparing for his coming. I saw an example on the internet once, and basically, this man was illustrating how the girls who prepare for Olympics will train, I believe, 4 years, and they'll train and train and train to get just a few minutes, sometimes seconds, up on a podium with gymnastics and on the high beam. Is that what it's called, the high beam, where these girls stand up there and just walk? I don't know how they even do that. I could crawl up on this, but I don't want to make a mess. I was thinking about it earlier, but then I was like, no, that's a bad idea. And they'll get up there, and they just have a few minutes, and you see these girls get up there, and they do these flips, and they jump off, you know, and they do this little jig there, or they're, and all these judges give the score, and they're applauded, you know. They've done all this training for that moment in their life. Now imagine if one girl gets up there and, you know, just gets up there and straddles the beam, you know, and stares at the clock, looks around, and, you know, just drags herself off, make sure she has her footing, and then, you know, does her jig. I mean, what do you think a judge is going to do to that? You had all this training for that moment. And when I think about loving God's coming, when I stand before God, and God says, I gave you just this life to live, just this short time, and I've shown you my love, I've shown you my grace, I've shown you my mercy, and have given you every opportunity, and look at what you've done with your life. So many times we're so afraid to live for Christ. We just hold on to our security. We hold on to what we know, and we say, just leave me alone. I'm fine right here. When we stand before God, we expect him to stand up and give us a standing ovation there. No. We have but one life to live for Christ. And so I ask this question. Are you rich towards God? This man had all these riches, all this money, and he had built these towers and stored all his goods, and he's like, wow, they don't even fit. Let me tear them all down, let's build even greater, and I'm going to rest and enjoy my life. And he got so sidetracked that God said, listen, your life is going to end. Here on earth, life will end, and you will stand before God. Are you rich in the eyes of God? Have you invested wisely in your life? Here was Christ in the flesh before them teaching. He could have asked any question. He said, God, ask my brother to split the inheritance with me. Oh, may God help us to look at what is eternal and to invest in what God has asked us to invest. Thank you very much. God bless.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for bringing that word and for many of us getting to hear your heart for the first time. And hopefully we get to spend some more time with you as well. Be remembering the Wards as they leave the end of this week. And if you can give them a ride to the airport, I'm not sure if they still have one or not. They do. We do have a ride to the airport. Okay. Be praying for them. I'm thinking of the two boys in particular in that transition. Anything else specific going on? Let's close in prayer. Lord, it is good to be reminded of the things that we have heard tonight. Lord, to have your truth and your word expose, inspire, encourage us. Lord, 2 Timothy talks about that your word shows us the path we're to run on. It's profitable for reproof. It shows us when we're off track, and perhaps some of us have been reproved tonight. It's profitable for correction. It shows us how to get back on track. And it's profitable for training in righteousness. It teaches us how to stay on track. Lord, I pray that this evening, in light of the things that we've heard, that we would continue to hear your voice speaking. And Lord, open our eyes this evening, this week. Give us an anticipation of opportunities to make much of you, to make much of Christ and your gospel. Lord, whatever we face this week, you have already been equipping us for. So give us an anticipation, a holy anticipation of seeing you work. And then as we gather in smaller groups or as a church, Lord, to celebrate what we've watched you do. Show us where you're working, and we'll join you in what you're doing. Thank you for Brother Nathan. Thank you for this word tonight. And Lord, it's just been so rich. We praise you, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you all.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.